Chapter 8. Believe? Max felt somewhat better after taking the hot shower prescribed by his father. Along with the sweatpants and a t-shirt, he scrounged up a pullover that he used to wear on chilly Wisconsin evenings around the family campfires when he was a teen. "Hey, son, how are you coming along?" his dad said as he made his way up the stairs. Max met him at the top of the stairs. They embraced. "I'm feeling a little better, thanks. I was just on my way down." "Excellent. Your mom has dinner ready." Making their way down the staircase, Max asked, "Has Meg called yet?" "I mean, you texted her and asked her to call you when she arrived in Paris, right?" "Yeah, that's right." "I am getting a little nervous that I might have missed her. While you were showering, I double-checked Meg's itinerary, and it looks like they had a non-deplaning layover in Paris. They should be in flight now to Sarajevo." As they reached the main level foyer, Dave instinctively checked his cell while they continued toward the dining room.
Oh, no, she...
"What? I just now noticed that she texted me about 5 minutes ago." Dave stopped just as they entered the dining room to read the text more intently. Margaret was seated at the table waiting. When she saw Dave's expression, as he silently read the text to himself, she felt a wave of anxiety sweep into her mind. "Meg?" Dave just nodded and stared at the phone with a perplexed look on his face. "What did she say?" Max asked, taking a chair next to his mom. "I don't get it." "This is strange. I'll read it. See what you make of it," Dave said, rubbing his forehead. "Dear Father, we landed safely in Paris. Brindeline and I, along with all the team, are well. Our layover is too short for me to make a call. Megan." "That's from Meg?" asked Margaret. "That text is no sooner from Meg than it is from Elvis. Has Meg ever texted, even one line to either of you, in a full sentence, with punctuation no less? And suddenly I'm father? And where are the 15 obligatory emojis?" Dave said as he turned his phone to face Margaret and Max. "That does it!" Max slammed his fist down on the table. "There is something way wrong here. I know it. It is more than just a sense. I know it. Dad, we need to call security at Sarajevo International Airport and alert them." Max was shaking like a leaf. Margaret interjected, "Yes, David, please." "Okay, yes, I agree. But to involve security, what would we say to cause them to take us seriously? They might respond that perhaps one of her friends texted me in her place for some reason, or 100 other things. I just don't think we have enough evidence to activate the authorities at this point." "Okay, listen. Dad, at least make the international call and leave word with customs at the airport to flag her and give her a message to call home immediately. Tell them it is an urgent family matter," said Max as he stood up and nervously ran his fingers through his damp hair. "Good, yes, I'm on it," Dave said, leaving the room to retrieve the trip itinerary Meg had given him. It contained every bit of contact information for every stop and each location that the team would travel to, including the airports, consulates, embassies, and the Red Cross. Dave was a stickler regarding such things. He understood the world of global travel well, and he never left anything to chance in that regard. "There's nothing we can do now but to wait and pray," Margaret said with stressed resignation. "Mom, I'll wait here with you and Dad. Stay up all night waiting." I don't know how to say it. "But praying, I'm not there yet." Max trailed off, lowered his head and took a seat next to his mom again. "Son, no one is going to force anything on you. You've been through enough over the past 24 hours. We just..." Max interrupted. "I know, Mom, it's not that exactly. I still cannot get to where you, Dad, and Meg are. I mean, no disrespect," Max explained tenderly as he took his mom's hand. "The darkness that I saw was absolute, and it was more than just extra-dimensional. That fact is forcing me, for the first time in my life, to come to a logical proposition regarding the likelihood of the existence of the supernatural. I now concede in my mind that absolute trans-dimensional darkness exists. That being the case,
I must also be willing to consider that transdimensional light may exist in parallel. What I mean to say is that if I say that I have seen darkness in these terms, then to be consistent, I have to be willing and intellectually honest enough to say the probability that something transcendent to the natural world does, in fact, exist. Max looked into his mom's eyes through tears welling up from the existential crisis mounting within his heart and mind. "Help me understand," Max said with trembling, whispered reservation. "Have you asked yourself why it is so hard for you to come to grips with the most logical conclusion regarding the question of believing in God? That's what we are ultimately talking about here, isn't it?" She looked at her son, and he nodded affirmatively. "You have shown me, throughout your life, that you have the courage and intelligence to embrace whatever logic dictates in any given situation. In all the other areas of your world, as a physicist, cosmologist, and a professor of academia, you have always been able to take all that logic demands, embracing, as true, whatever and wherever logic leads you. I've always respected that trait in you. Even in the area of quantum physics, where relativity is suspended, you seem to be able to go with the math, even if you don't have the natural to quantify it in empirical, natural, and relative terms, even if your conclusions seem incomprehensible in relationship to the scientifically established patterns of this universe. Could I say it? You have shown that you can believe that which you cannot quantify, explain, or experience according to the established natural order of things." Margaret paused and raised her eyebrows to Max with a gentle, encouraging smile. "Believe?" Max said contemplatively, closing his eyes. "This is deeper, though, more profound, a core human structural issue." "Deep calls to deep," Margaret said. "Your struggle is not intellectual, it is moral. The crucible for the struggle of faith is not the brain, but the heart. It is not settled in the mind, but in the conscience. What must be crushed by the mortar and pestle of faith is human pride." After a moment's pause to see if Max was tracking all of this, she continued, "Searching for truth with the intellect alone is to look with only one eye open. Depth perception takes two eyes. Search for truth with the physical eye alone, and you will find information. Search for truth with the spiritual eye alone, and you will find intuition. Search for truth with both the physical eye and the spiritual eye open together, and you will find illumination." Margaret spoke in love. "Illumination." Max opened his eyes, clasping his mum's hands. "I want to see, but the darkness. The darkness is only the absence of light. That's all. It has no innate properties of its own. Strike a single match, and what was thought to be thick darkness is no more." The room was silent except for the tick-tocking of the grandfather clock standing in the corner. The heirloom had been handmade by Margaret's great-grandfather, the priest from Sarajevo. It was the only material belonging that had found its way to America through the family's immigration story. Dave broke the silence as he walked back into the dining room, muttering to himself. Realizing that the hush was filled with meaning, he quieted himself, saying, "Is everything okay in here?" Margaret smiled at Dave. "Tell us what you found out." "Well, it took a few calls. I was finally connected to the main customs office in the airport. They will flag her passport, so before she is processed, she will be taken into the security of the main office at customs and held there until we can personally speak with her and establish that everything is okay for her to proceed on the trip." Max and Margaret hugged each other as Margaret sighed. "Okay, what did I miss?" Dave said with a smile. Margaret looked up at Dave from the embrace and said, "Honey, let's sit down, say grace, and we'll talk together over dinner."